This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Let's continue our conversation about city government with GLT's Ryan Denham, who spent much of his Monday reviewing and covering the indictment against five former Coliseum managers and employees, a total of 111 counts. Ryan, thanks for stopping by to help unpack the case and to talk about what it means for the city.
Sure thing.
What are these five people actually accused of doing?
So they're accused of participating in a multi-year scheme to skim off concessions money that was owed to the city of Bloomington, divert other money from utilities to personal accounts, and even overbilling and double billing for cleaning supplies and equipment, for example. They're also accused of some tax fraud and money laundering kind of related to all that. We knew this investigation was underway. It came out last year that state police were looking into the mismanagement at the Coliseum. It's still surprising to see the scope of the alleged scheme, that five different people were involved and several different sides of the Coliseum's management.
Some of these names are familiar. Who are they?
So the number one target of prosecutors, it appears to be, is John Butler. He was the owner of Central Illinois Arena Management, which is the management company running the Coliseum for really the first decade of its existence. He faces 44 counts just on his own. Behind him is Jay Lash, who is director of finance for BMI Concessions, which was kind of like an in-house food and beverage company for the Coliseum. He's up against 36 counts in the indictments. Bart Rogers, who was John Butler's kind of second in command, was the Coliseum's general manager, was also charged, as was Kelly Klein, the assistant general manager for the building in charge of finance, and then Paul Grazier, the general manager for that food and beverage side, BMI Concessions.
So I assume they all have lawyers. What are they saying? What are the attorneys saying?
Sure. So we heard back yesterday from the attorneys for John Butler and Bart Rogers. Steve Beckett is the name of the attorney for John Butler. He says that Butler will plead not guilty to all charges and that Butler is presumed innocent. He said that Butler cooperated with investigation and surrendered to police yesterday on his own volition. Stephanie Wong, who's a notable Bloomington attorney here, represents Bart Rogers, who is the general manager for the building. She said she didn't have a lot of information yet because those indictments were just unsealed yesterday. But she said they were merely accusations and that Bart Rogers was entitled to his day in court.
Based on my review of the charges, it appears that he is clearly not the principal or the principal individual involved. And if, and that's a big if, he was involved at all, that it would be minimum at best, given the seriousness of the other charges against the other co-defendants.
That's Stephanie Wong, the attorney for Bart Rogers. Did Rogers or other people that were indicted appear in court yesterday?
It was sort of an interesting day. The indictments were actually handed down last week, and that's when arrest warrants were issued. The defendants knew they were under investigation, at least some of them did. And we were aware of at least the broad strokes of the investigation. I'm told by state police that the suspects surrendered to state police personnel at predetermined locations yesterday. A couple of them appeared in court yesterday. Three of them did not, though. So John Butler was one of the ones who did not. He basically bonded out in time to not have to pop up in court. They all have bonded out by now. John Butler had the highest bond amount, $300,000, which means he had to post $30,000 to get released. They all had mugshots taken, which you can see now at our website, WGLT.org.
Does anyone ever look good in a mugshot?
No, it's not. The
lighting's horrible. So John Butler, who is he? Let's talk about his history in the community.
Sure, yeah. He's been around a while. He's a longtime McLean County resident. His company, Central Illinois Arena Management, was running the Coliseum, again, for that first decade of its existence, starting back in 2006. John Butler is actually now helping run some minor league hockey teams. He's a minority owner of the Peoria Rivermen, which plays in the SPHL, along with Bart Rogers, who's also a minority co-owner. The majority owner of that team, by the way, is also the owner of the Bloomington Thunder, the junior team that plays here in town. So John Butler's 10-year contract with the city ended last spring. They basically walked away from each other. The city's contract with John Butler's company was paying Butler's company between $200,000 and $300,000 each year. That's commissions and sponsorship sales and suites, annual fee, all that. So quite a bit of money going in his direction.
So, Ryan, what does the city have to say about these allegations? We just heard from Karen Schmidt.
So obviously, it has to be an embarrassing day for city officials. City Manager David Hales, who's on his way out, he just accepted a new job in Joliet. He was quoted as recently as September 2015 in a press release about Coliseum Financials, saying that the city is fortunate to have a group of very dedicated and talented individuals under the direction of John Butler and Bart Rogers managing the Coliseum. David Hales, Mayor Pro Tem Karen Schmidt, who you just heard from, and Corporation Counsel Jeff Juergens, so basically the city's top attorney, they together issued a statement yesterday. Hales, in that statement, said this has been a long and thorough investigation and that he appreciates the patience of the public during that process. The city's lawyer, Jeff Juergens, had maybe the most substantive comments. He said that the city was targeted by a deeply complex and ongoing criminal scheme, and he specified that no city employee or official is alleged to be involved in any of the charges that were filed. So obviously, Mayor Terry Renner is still on his temporary leave of absence, so we haven't heard from him. Karen Schmidt, in her statement yesterday and again on the air today, said that we have and will always be committed to seeing crimes committed against the city uncovered and prosecuted. Still, it raises that obvious question of who is in charge and who is ultimately responsible. It's an uncomfortable position to blame the victim in any criminal case, right? But it still begs that question. Last night at the Bloomington City Council meeting, Alderman really didn't talk about it during the meeting itself. Afterwards, our reporter, Bailey Steelman, talked to Jamie Matthey, who was a lone alderman who stuck around and talked to reporters. He said that the contract between the council and Central Illinois Arena Management kept the city out of the loop. Matthey says that the new contract with the new managers, Venue Works, requires more transparency.
They know exactly what's going on, where the money is going, what's being used for, where revenues are collected. There was a problem that got fixed in terms of the contracts, and now we legally were not allowed to see some things until the changeover happened.
So this is an understatement. The Coliseum has had critics for a long time. How does that play into this storyline of the city and this arena?
Well, it certainly adds fuel to that fire, right? There are some parts of the community that will never embrace the Coliseum, thinks it shouldn't exist in the first place, that it should be closed down. Others think it's like more like a park and it should be subsidized by the city. It adds millions in economic development benefits to the city each year. Now, but though we have new insight, allegedly, into why the venue was losing so much money year after year. For the past 5 years, it posted a net operating loss. Or at least we know more about why the city wasn't making more from the Coliseum. I spent this morning kind of reviewing the audits and financial reports for the Coliseum. And I know the audits from a company called Sikich didn't really turn up any red flags, but they did say that they did not find any deficiencies in internal control that we consider to be material weaknesses. And that's in 2015. That's pretty recent. So obviously there were some weaknesses in internal control, right? And more than one thing can be true. Just because someone was allegedly stealing money from the Coliseum, it doesn't mean it'll break even now, right? The forces at work in that industry, the concert business and attendance issues at events, those can still be true, too. It's not going to just make the Coliseum magically financially solvent again. We'll have to kind of see how Venue Works does in the years ahead.
How did these allegations come to light?
I asked State's Attorney Jason Chambers about that, and his office is the one that's prosecuting the cases. And when he says SIAM here in this audio bite we're going to play, that's Central Illinois Arena Management, Butler's company.
After SIAM left, the management company that came in immediately after SIAM noticed some discrepancies, which they pointed out to the city of what they thought were discrepancies, which they pointed out to the city of Bloomington, which forwarded it to the state police.
And from there, there was a 16-month state police investigation. They got some help from the Illinois Department of Revenue because of that alleged tax fraud. Here's Chambers again talking about the scope of the investigation.
It's a very extensive investigation that state police and some of the state IRS investigators were involved in. It took well over a year, thousands and thousands of pages of documents for them to go through. There's no way to do that thoroughly in a quick manner.
Ryan, I have to wonder if SIAM was between a rock and a hard place in the spring of 2016 when the city tried to renegotiate their contract and put more transparency into that contract. They had to think that if these allegations are true, they were going to be found out if the city moved forward with this contract. And yet they knew if they didn't move forward, the next company might find out. It's an interesting situation that I think bears some thought. Some possible sentences for these people if they are convicted?
Yeah, so four of the five defendants face Class X felonies, which, if they're convicted, would carry a mandatory prison sentence. That's 6 to 30 years in prison on each count. Keep in mind, though, they are innocent until proven guilty. But
John Butler faces 44 counts. Not all of those are Class X felonies.
Correct, yes. So we'll kind of see how the case unfolds. If anyone pleads out or if charges are dropped against certain defendants, we'll just kind of have to let it play out.
So VenueWorks is now managing the arena. New name, new managers. We know that a previous manager under VenueWorks ran into some difficulty. Is the big problem solved with the Coliseum, do you think?
Well, I think what you just mentioned there in terms of the first manager that VenueWorks brought in was ultimately arrested himself and charged with theft. I think he was accused of misusing a credit card for some personal charges, including airline tickets.
Not quite the scheme that Siam is alleged to have participated in.
Not in scope, no. And he's due back in court in October on those charges. That's still kind of an open case, too. Different manager in place now, obviously a new executive director. Things seem to be running a little bit smoother over there, it would appear. But again, we'll just kind of have to let it play out. It's a 5-year contract that VenueWorks has.
GLT Digital Content Director Ryan Denham, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas to talk to us about the Coliseum investigation.
Sure thing.